Okay, this is Joe Vitale. This is our final call in the How to Attract a New Car series. I've got a couple incredible guests for tonight and a couple exciting things to announce for tonight. We only have an hour or so. I want to do my best to keep to that, and I've got a couple guests. Wendy, are you still in the wings?
I am right here.
All right. Well, hold on for a second.
Okay.
And I'll get to you. I just want to be sure that you're there. One thing I wanted to talk about real quick is I don't know what kind of cars everybody is trying to attract, but our friend in Japan, Charles Burke, who I heard report in, he's also up over there, calling in from sunny Japan. He's wanting a car I had never heard of before. It's called a Mitsuoka. M-I-T-S-U-O-K-A, a Mitsuoka. And I went online and looked for it, and I found the site for it. And it's an incredible-looking car. I've never seen anything like it. And I'll send the link out for it later, or you can go look at it at mitsuoka-motor.com/English. But one thing that was really interesting here that's relevant to this whole car, this whole call is that there's a little slogan here on the website. It says, "We are happy, it's not logic." Now, this is a very Japanese way of expressing a marketing term. We are happy, it's not logic. And I saw that and I started laughing and then grinning and then feeling great inside, and I thought, that kind of sums up what I'm trying to do on all of these calls. We are happy, it's not logic. We're not trying to focus on a logical way to attract a car. We're trying to come from this place of happiness first, and then from there, magnetizing ourselves to pull in the car of our dreams. This Mitsuoka is right for Charles. It's not right for me, so I'm not saying go and get this car. I'm saying pay attention to some of the things that are being said around this car. This whole advertisement, "We are happy, it's not logic," is worth thinking about or meditating over. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. Another is I have a gift for everybody on the call tonight. It's an e-book that's been put together on strategies for deliberate attraction. And you, everybody on this call, are the first to hear of it. It's not even been released yet. It's at manifestlife.com/mentors/Joe. And I'll spell it. It's manifestlife.com/mentors/Joe. So that's a free ebook for everybody on the call. I will send the link out to the folks that have tuned in. And again, we've got hundreds to thousands of people trying to get in. And if you heard when you called in earlier, that people are calling from all over the world. It's 2 in the morning in Germany. It's noon over in New Zealand. I think Switzerland called in. We definitely have Charles in Japan calling in. So people are eager to hear and probably eager to get me to shut up and go right to the guests we have. But I got to tell you what happened to me. I, too, am working through this process of attracting a new car. I've been, obviously, on all the calls. I've been doing everything that I'm asking everybody else to do. And, of course, when people like Brad Yates was on last week teaching you how to do the emotional freedom techniques, I was tapping along to release any blocks I had, just as you were doing at home. So I've been doing all this process. So what's been going on with me? I have found and attracted the car of my dreams. And I want to tell you what happened here because it's so relevant to what you may be doing. First of all, you just heard me say I've been doing the tapping. So as beliefs have come up that have kept me from wanting to go for the car that I wanted, I tap them away. And, of course, if you're new to this phone call, we're talking about emotional freedom technique, which is a type of psychological acupuncture. You're tapping on different parts of your body to release this negativity and these beliefs that may be keeping you from attracting the car, the wealth, the spouse, the house, whatever it is that you're going for. And Brad Yates is at bradyates.net, N-E-T, where he explains how to do this. So I've been doing this whole process on myself. Then last Friday, I went into the recording studio, and Narissa videotaped me giving a one-on-one presentation that's not even for sale yet, but it's called Beyond the Attractor Factor. And in this presentation, I walked everybody through the 5 steps on the Attractor Factor that's based on the book. I did the 5 steps for myself. Now, unconsciously, subconsciously, on some kind of deeper level, I was focusing on my car as I was doing this presentation. And I got to the point that when this was all over on Friday, Narissa and I got together and I said, I want to show you the car I've been wanting to attract and the car I've been thinking about. I've test driven it, but Narissa had not. So she and I went over to the BMW dealership. We got in a brand new BMW 645 CI, which is a very expensive luxury sports car. The salesman let us just drive off in it, which was a little dangerous on his part because we really wanted to drive off. But we took it for a nice long ride, tested it out. Narissa loved it. I obviously loved it. It wasn't the color I wanted. It didn't have everything I wanted. So I went back to the car dealership, and I did something that day that I had never done at any other time in my life. You got to remember, I was the guy who was homeless at one point, who lived in virtual poverty for a very long time, who struggled for a very long time before I got to wherever you think I am today. I went into this car dealership, and I special ordered a 645 CI to be built for me in Germany by BMW. Now, this is huge. It is huge. When I was leaving the dealership, I was a bit dazzled at myself. And as I reflected on all this, I thought, how is this happening? I was just daydreaming about the car. I've been happy with the car I have. Of course, I have a beautiful Z3, which they don't even make anymore, a BMW Z3, which is a luxury sports car from 98 or 99. So how did I move into this whole category? Part of it was, it's not logical. Remember the ad we just talked about. I've been happy with everything I've been doing, and I playfully looked at what I wanted to attract. Now, going into the dealership and special ordering a car is no big deal. You basically put $1,000 down. You tell them what you want. They go and build the car. In a couple months, it'll be on a boat, on a ship, coming over to the States from Germany. At that point, I'll have to pay for it. So I started to think, where am I going to get, this is a fully loaded car, $90,000? Because part of my intention, obviously I have the existing money, but part of my intention is to pay for this car in cash from funds I'm not already pulling from. So in other words, I'm pulling it out of the air. So I started to play with the possibility of, well, I want to pay cash for this car. I got 2 months to come up with the money. I wonder where it will come from. No worry, no stress, having fun with the process. Today, I get a phone call from my agent, who basically hasn't sold anything for me in years. I've been selling all my books on my own. And he calls, and he's excited because he thinks he can get a six-figure advance for one of my next books, partly due to the success of my existing books like The Attractor Factor. Well, a six-figure advance would be more than enough to pay for the car in cash and even fill it up with gas. This is my little fun story of how you can manifest the car. Now, it may not happen the way I just described it. It certainly may not be the car that I just described. It certainly may not be the one Charles wants, the Mitsuoka. But these are all the principles at work. And as we talk about this evening with our two incredible guests that I'm very excited about, because I've never interviewed either one of them before, and they're both heroes and heroines of mine, as you listen to us talk, you'll hear these principles coming up over and over again. So let's get to our guest. I'm going to introduce my first one in a minute. And at the end of the call tonight, in about an hour or so, I want to wrap up with some reminders and another thought or two. So first of all, Wendy Friesen used to sit and wonder how she was going to take a shower. After her water was cut off for non-payment, she had to take a hard look at her life and figure out how to explain to her two young boys why they had no water coming out of the faucet. Her financial life hit some all-time lows. In the last 5 years, she has grown her business into a corporation that will do $5 million in sales this year alone. Determination and hard work was a part of the success and rapid growth, but the real magic is in the manifestation of wealth, but not for the reasons you may think. Today, she floats in her pool and remembers the day when she didn't have a drop of water in her house. Now, not only has she attracted new cars with her manifesting, but she also has appeared on many national TV shows, hundreds of radio shows, and many national magazines. She was featured in the Financial Times in London for her financial abundance training just recently. And I'm a big fan of Wendy. I have bought all of, not all of them, but many of her programs from Wendy.com, which is W-E-N-D-I.com. I've got her, I'm looking over there right now, the Abundance CD set. I've got her Speaking Mastery CD set. I have her one on losing weight, which was one of the tools I've used in my whole weight loss process. Many of you know I've lost well over 70 pounds. I'm a new man here. I used to be the Buddha of the Internet. Now they call me the Charles Atlas of the Internet. And one of the tools I used, one of my secret aids, was material from Wendy. Wendy, thank you. Are you there?
Hi, Joe. I sure am. Well, how fun to be here. I'm so excited.
Oh, thank you for making time. It's such a treat to get to talk to you. The people that are on the call have called, as you've noticed, from all over the world. They're all focused on manifesting a new car. Some of them may want something else, but the focus of the calls have been on a new car.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you advise them on how to manifest, attract a new car or anything else?
Well, you know, one of the main things that I find is that people don't ask for what they do want, but they continue to ask for what they don't want. They continue to reinforce, oh, man, my car is falling apart. This piece of shit car is, you know, costing me more and more money every day. What am I going to do? I can't afford a new car. So you put out there to the universe that you just can't afford it, and you keep getting more of the same and more lack. And you're actually manifesting, but you're doing a really crappy job of it.
Yes. You're manifesting what you don't want, yeah.
Yeah. About 5 years ago, I was driving my minivan, and I wasn't making much money back. At 5 years ago, I was kind of supporting myself, but not doing too well. And my minivan, the registration had run out, and I couldn't get it registered because I had parking tickets, and I had to get insurance, and I tried to drive in the dark a lot so no one would see me, and I knew I needed to get a new car.
Right.
But I had no money, and my credit was pretty bad back then as well, so I couldn't get financed.
Hmm.
And I had a couple extra $100 in the bank. I went and rented a black convertible. It was a Toyota Spyder. And it was just when they first came out 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I rented it for 2 days. I think it was $75 a day. And I took it home and put it, and I can't even tell you why I did this. I don't even know. I put it in my garage,
mm-hmm.
and I drove it now and then, but every time I'd go out into my garage, I had this shock because there was this beautiful car in my garage, and I had to face the issue that said, I don't deserve this. And so by looking at that car in my garage for 2 days, I said, yes, this could happen to you. It's possible that in a very short time you could have a beautiful black convertible in your garage. But then a part of me said, oh, no, you can't. How silly is that?
Yeah.
I have no cash and no credit. And I had lots of bad credit. So anyway, probably just a few months later, maybe 3 or 4 months later, and, you know, a lot of things were going wrong back then, and it was still tough, and my business was starting to build, but it was basically in my garage making a few CDs here and there. I went on to the internet and I looked for black convertibles, and I thought, oh, the Eclipse Spyder looks really cool. And I sent a couple letters to the dealers or whatever, and one of them wrote me back and said, yeah, we have this black one in stock. And I just, it was on a Thursday, and so on that day I decided that this weekend I will own a black convertible. It will happen easily. It will be the easiest car transaction I'll ever have. Because then previous to that, I've had a couple businesses where it's been successful, and I have had nice cars, but I just had a really bad stretch for about 5 years where things were just hitting bottom. Anyway, I said that it'll happen easily, beautifully, and without a hitch, you know. So it's, they're not going to put me through the, you know, meat grinder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to have to jump through any hoops. And I closed my eyes, and I didn't imagine any type of car, but it was a black convertible with tan interior. And I put myself in it and just felt it and let myself fantasize that it could happen to me.
Mm.
So, and that was on a Thursday. And on Saturday, I went into this one dealership, and they had the black Eclipse Spyder, which is a convertible with the tan leather interior. And I thought, there's no way. But then a part of me said, it's okay, have faith. You know, faith is kind of a nice thing to have. Even if you don't quite believe it, still have the faith that it's possible. But it still had a lot to do with putting that other Toyota Spyder in my garage, because there was a part of me that that did believe. It was a very quiet little voice, but it believed that I could actually have a new car in my garage. So anyway, I drove the car, went in there and sat down. And they said, this is how much your payment is. I said, yeah, well, oh, you won't be able to get me financed because... And he says, yeah, we will. I said, no, when you go run the credit and stuff. And he says, don't worry, we'll get you financed. I said, well, yeah, but I don't have the down payment. He says, well, this is with no down payment. And I said, well, I don't have any income verification because I'm self-employed. He said, well, that's okay. Anyway, so, gosh, hour and a half later, I drive out with the car and I come home. On Monday, the dealership called, and it was the finance department, and the guy needed a couple of pieces of information, and he said, I don't know how on earth you got them to sell you this car. How did you get them to finance you?
Wow.
For me, making the payments wouldn't be a problem, but it was that I had no credit, no down payment. You've got to have one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and no income verification. And the finance guy said, I don't know how they sold you this car. I don't know how they got your financing approved. It doesn't make any sense. And the other thing about it, Joe, was that it was just effortless. I went in there. It was the exact car. I drove out with it, and I was home. And
what a beautiful story. I love it.
You know, faith goes a long way.
It does. You know, it actually causes things to happen that in the logical world, it's not supposed to happen. Just
right.
Like the finance guy looking at what's logical to him is that you never should have got that car.
And he told me, and I told them, I said, look, I've got bad credit. I have no money. And I'm telling him I have no money.
Yes.
So anyway, 5 years later, now this was just like 3 weeks ago, I decided to go and buy a new car.
Wow.
And I have a nice car in my garage. But the interesting thing about this one was I traded in the Black Spider. I'd had it for 5 years. And when I was at the dealership, and it was time to say goodbye to that Spider, it meant so much more to me, Joe, than just a car. It,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't being in love with that car. It was the experience that this was the first thing that I had faith to manifest out of nowhere that was totally from faith that said, you know, something good could happen to me, and I could deserve to have a new car. And it was such a breakthrough after driving my minivan that was the, you know, POS car and no registration, no insurance, and all of those things, and it came together. So now about the same thing happened with the new yellow Boxster, and I had to drive a few hours to find the yellow one. But I walked in there, it was no problem, and, you know, I'm very proud to say that I wrote him a check this time.
Uh-huh.
But I had to leave my little Black Spider there that represented such a big chunk of my becoming abundant.
I think cars mean something emotionally to us, and that when you do leave one behind, you move to another level with the new one. And there's a little bit of sadness as you leave it behind, but there's also the excitement of going into this new level.
Yeah, and even now, I have to tell you that this is a little out of my comfort zone. The first week or two that I had this car, and I still feel this way, I look at it and I get these funny, conflicted feelings because I'm not sure if I deserve it or not.
Mm.
It's just the weirdest thing. And we're going to battle these feelings all the time, no matter what level you're at. When you move up a notch, you know, you're going to push the extreme of your comfort zone, and it's going to feel uncomfortable. And if you know that's okay, I have to feel a little bit of discomfort in order to get to the next level.
Well, do you have any advice for dealing with that? You say we can tell ourselves it's okay to feel that, but are there any ways to kind of dilute it or make it easier? Or
absolutely.
Okay.
You know, something that I've told people for a long time, one of the people who won on Survivor a few years ago had a little post-it note, she said. Before she ever auditioned for the show, she put a post-it note on her computer monitor, said, I'll be the ultimate survivor, and she won. Well, I put a note on my computer. This was probably 4 years ago, and it said that in the next year I would do over $1 million in sales in my business. And at that time I only did $300,000 that the year before. So $1 million was unrealistic since I had no game plan and I was sitting in my house. I also said that by September I would open the doors to my beautiful house, meaning that I would buy a house. And this was shortly after the car thing. I still had nothing for credit, and I had no money. But I put that post-it note on my computer, those two things, I will make $1 million or more, in that year, and I will open the door to my beautiful house in August. Guess how much money in sales my business did that next year? It was $1,060,000. How could I have made almost that exact figure happen with all the random events in the universe that have brought all the people to me to gain, you know, the $1 million?
Well, tell me about that. You put a yellow sticky note on your monitor someplace that you saw it. Did you think about it every day? Did you focus on it?
No, but it was there. It was just sitting there, and I didn't. The only other thing I did on the house thing where it said, I'll open the door to my beautiful house, is sometimes I'd close my eyes, and I'd imagine walking down the hallway of this vacant house.
Yeah.
It was brand new carpet, brand new house, and I'd just walk around in it and just breathe in the smell of the new house.
Oh, so beautiful.
But other than that, I didn't do anything. So I am in that house right now, and I have a, you know, swimming pool in the back.
Beautiful.
In it.
That's so inspiring, Wendy.
And I have my little yellow Boxster sitting in my garage. And, Joe, every day when I go out to my garage, I know it's wrong, but I look at that car and go, oh, gosh, this is just so wonderful that, you know, that life isn't a struggle anymore, and I don't have to be in fear every day of what's going to happen next.
What about the people who are listening who are in fear? They're worried about debt up to their eyeballs or getting into debt if they get a car, or they do have the challenge where the self-talk in their head says, I don't deserve it, I can't get it, how is this possible? That's Wendy, that's Joe, it's not me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, remembering that I had nothing to draw from, I had no connections, no people to help me, no loans, no borrowing power, and I had faith that something would be different. Start writing things down. Now, this is probably one of the biggest things, because when my business was still in my garage and maybe I was doing like $3,000 a month in sales on the Internet, I wrote down, and this was like in 2 months later, I wrote down that I would make over $20,000 in January. I wrote down that I would be running 2 miles a day, even though I was running 0 miles and getting fatter at that time, that I would have 3 new friends that I really connected with, and something else that was spiritual growth. But the $20,000 in sales in 1 month was really unrealistic. So no matter where you are in your life, even if something feels unrealistic, you write it down. And when you write it down, you don't have to believe it, but you write it down because you have some faith that it could happen. Well, in December, I was on a national talk show. They flew me to New York to be on it was Queen Latifah, and this national talk show. And Men's Health did a huge article on me that came out in the beginning of January. So anyway, in January, I did. How much money? $20,200. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
When you wrote it down, did you write it down as if it already happened or you wanted it to happen? What was the wording?
I wrote it down that it was in January, and I didn't do it as if it already happened, but said in January, I make over $20,000 in sales, and, you know, the other things that I wanted, and they all happened. And then the middle of January, I was getting up for my morning run, and I was thinking, well, this is pretty crazy. Here I am running 2 miles every morning.
Uh-huh.
Don't know why.
That's wild. That is so inspiring to us.
Yeah, so write it down, because you don't know what events are going to happen. Like you said with the publisher, you don't know what the universe is going to bring you to support this outcome. But if you don't do something to put the outcome into the universe, the stuff can't come back to you because there's no game plan. And I used to run these meetings every week that were abundance groups, and this is when I was not abundant, but I would have about 8 or 10 people in each week. We'd get together, and we'd sit in a circle and manifest abundance. We'd get rid of our sabotage, change some of our beliefs. And every week, everyone would have something wonderful happen, something very amazing and just clear out of the blue. So one of the weeks, I said, okay, this week we're all going to have a surprise. It's going to be something totally unexpected. It could be a phone call. It could be someone you run into when you walk around the corner. You know, it could be something that comes in the mail. But every one of us will have something unexpected. So we come next week, and every one of us did. Now, mine was pretty unusual. A guy called me from Qatar, which is a Middle Eastern country. He was the Minister of Foreign Affairs. He asked me if I would fly over there and do therapy for him for 4 days.
Wow.
And a few days later, I had $9,000 wired into my account. I was paid in advance.
Amazing.
And I did it.
Amazing.
It just the freakiest thing. You ask for stuff. You have a little bit of faith. You put your intention out there, and then stuff can come to you.
Wendy, that is incredibly inspiring. Out of all your products at Wendy.com, are there some that are relevant, that are the most useful for people that are trying to manifest or attract cars or houses or health or something?
Yeah, definitely. Well, the Financial Abundance CDs, they do have a manifesting session on there where you actually go into a nice deep hypnosis state and you manifest it. But here's, you know, one of the things you said in the intro about not for the reasons you would think, that that's about attracting wealth. Well, when you're manifesting something, and I think this is the key, you have to manifest something other than money and possessions.
Yeah.
And what I think you manifest is, what is it that I'm going to do that's going to somehow make a difference or reach out beyond money and possessions and things? For me, when I manifest something, if I say, I want to make this much money in my business this year, that is a result of me manifesting all of the good that's done and all of the people that are touched by what I do, but also all the people they inspire. So the universe supports me in my generosity, in wanting to give to others and make their world a better place and have a positive outcome for others. So I used, when I was so broke, like, in the water being shut off days.
Yes.
I was going to have a one-day seminar that was going to make $20,000. It was for stopping smoking, and I had it all set up and all figured out how I was going to do this, you know, one-night thing at the Holiday Inn. And I visualized wheelbarrows of money.
Mm-hmm.
I visualized carting, because I was told that's what you have to do. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
And I was carting wheelbarrows of money to the bank, and that's all I visualized. And I knew that this was going to work. And I went there, and I had written them up a bad check. Unless I made money, it was going to be a bad check to the hotel for the room for $500. Guess how many people showed up? One.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was sad. And I think it was because what I manifested was greed, and the universe wasn't going to support my greed.
Well, I think that's an important insight. Somewhere in my book, The Attractor Factor, I talk about setting your goal in such a way that it helps at least two other people. And it's something I got, I didn't originate it, it's from Jose Silva, who said it was much more powerful if you stated an intention or a desire or a visualization that not just influenced you, but influenced at least two other people.
Yeah.
And partly you got out of your ego by doing it, and partly you enlisted in some kind of metaphysical way the universe to support you in doing that. I'm doing the same thing with this whole new car thing. All of these calls have been free for everybody to listen to.
Right.
But they've also been useful to me because obviously I am attracting this incredible luxury car being built for me in Germany. I mean, so I'm benefiting, but thousands of other people are benefiting at the same time.
By the book that you're writing that you're getting paid for and that book that's going to support them on their journey.
Yeah.
You know, that is the most important thing. If you want to manifest money, chances are it's not going to work. My financial abundance program, the reason I think it works, first of all, it's because of all the things I discovered that actually worked for me and that got me out of my self-sabotage and my poverty consciousness. And the obstacles that were the reasons why it was a positive thing for me to be poor, I had to clear those up. Then on the manifesting, I had to learn how to manifest good for others and then be worthy of it. Now, I can manifest good and be altruistic and make no money. You know, you can do a world of good for others and never keep a dime. But you've got to know that in doing this for others, I do deserve to be rewarded, be secure, be happy, take vacations, and own nice things.
Yes.
So that's where the worthiness comes in. And that's the thing I love out of all the products we have is my financial abundance program, because it's my heart and soul that, you know, me sticking my neck out to figure this out and finding out why I had to be poor and getting out of it is how this program came about.
So it's financial abundance, and it's your four CDs? Is that what it is?
Uh-huh. And there's eight different sessions, and each one approaches a different part of the problem of kind of pushing wealth and opportunity away.
Okay.
So, well, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's really a relief to finally get past all the fear and the worry.
Well, aren't you having a blast, though? I mean, at this point in your life, not even comparing to 5 years ago, if you've got this beautiful car and you're in that house that you visualize and you've got the pool and you've got, you know, $5 million in sales coming in a year and you're traveling wherever you want and so forth, aren't you just kind of in bliss all the time?
I'm in awe of myself. I can hardly believe that this is happening. And I do believe it, but, yeah, it is such a wonderful feeling to not have to be in fear. And, you know, they say that money can't buy happiness, and it's true. You can have a lot of problems even when you have a lot of money, but it does get you security and comfort and breathing space, and having a Boxster doesn't hurt.
Yeah, that's the old quote. I don't know who said it, but I've been poor and I've been rich, and rich is better.
Yeah.
You know, so. Well, yeah, Wendy, I'm going to have to go to the next guest, but thank you. Everybody, get her financial abundance program or any of the other material, because I endorse all of it. I know Wendy personally. I endorse all of her stuff, and she's at wendy.com, www.wendi.com.
Hey, Joe, in fact, you know what, since the people are on the phone call with us, if they want to email me personally, I'll give them a coupon code where they can take $50 off of the Abundance Program.
Holy smokes, I'll do that one. What's the coupon code?
I'm not telling you, but you got to email me, okay? Just have them email, because otherwise they might pass the coupon code around, and what I'll do is I'll tell them that it'll only be good for a day, so it's only for the people on this phone call.
Okay, what is the email to give out?
The email is mind@wendy.com.
Mind, M-I-N-D?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
M-I-N-D at W-E-N-D-I dot C-O-M.
Yeah, so, you know, I want to listen to your next guest. Should I stay on this line or call
back?
Yeah,
you can stay on the line. I think you have to *6 to mute yourself.
Okay, great.
And Randy, are you there?
I'm here live and in Technicolor.
All right. All right, well, if you've read The Attractor Factor, then our special surprise next guest needs no introduction. Likewise, if you have attended one of his prosperity workshops or read one of his best-selling books on the subject, I'm talking about one of my friends and mentors, one of my favorite authors, prosperity guru, Randy Gage, G-A-G-E. A former high school dropout, Randy rose from a dishwasher in a pancake house to become a multimillionaire. Today, he is recognized as one of the world's preeminent experts on prosperity. For more than 15 years, he has been helping other people transform self-limiting beliefs into business and personal success. Randy is the author of 5 books on prosperity, and his books and other learning resources have been translated into 14 different languages around the world. He has been called the Millionaire Messiah because he believes that you are meant to be rich and it is a sin to be poor. Tonight I asked him to share his thoughts on how you can harness the power of thought and intention to manifest success in all areas of your life. You've got to listen to Randy. This is a guy who's written books that I think cause people to wake up from what I call the cultural trance. He's also got many books, many courses, including one on the Midas touch. And he's the guy who created the Prosperity IQ test that's in the front of the Attractor Factor. So I'm going to shut up. Randy, thank you for showing up.
Hey, Joe, you know, I love what you do. I love your work. So, you know, I'm delighted to be on here with you.
And didn't you just come from overseas? Weren't you in Germany or something?
Yeah, actually, I did a weekend workshop in Kiev, Ukraine.
And, oh,
so
on prosperity?
Working, and then I stopped at Paris for a little R&R on the way back and then got back here yesterday.
Oh, fantastic. Randy's website is at www.myprosperitysecrets.com. I'll give it out a little later. www.myprosperitysecrets.com. Randy, the people on the call have been calling from all over the world. They're up at 2 in the morning in Germany and Switzerland. It's noon in New Zealand. I've got somebody in Japan. I've got them from all over the country and Canada. They all want to attract, manifest a new car or even something else. It may be a house, wealth, a spouse. I don't know what it is. How can they, in 20 minutes or so, how can you advise these people to manifest, attract the car or anything else they like?
Well, I think I would start with a little chat on the subconscious mind, and then I think I'd love to tell a story how I manifested my first Viper.
Ah, your first Viper. I didn't know you had more than one.
Oh, I'm on my fourth now.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, tell me about the subconscious mind.
Well, as you know, when you're subconscious mind is programmed with something, it has to happen because the subconscious mind doesn't rationalize, it doesn't argue, it doesn't debate. It does whatever it's programmed to do. So when we think we're undecided about something or somebody says, hey, Joe, why don't you enter the race? I think you could win it. And then you have this thought, oh, I would never win. I'm too slow. I don't have... That's not your subconscious mind. Of course, that's your conscious mind. But when your subconscious mind is programmed to say, hey, I can win this race, or hey, I can do this, hey, I can lose weight, hey, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be this, I want to become that, whatever you program your subconscious mind has to happen. And the example is, of course, if you don't think people on the call right now are not thinking, well, I got to remember to breathe, I have to remember to pump my heart, pump the blood, the subconscious mind takes care of all that. Just like if you get in an argument with your spouse and you storm out of the house and you drive to work, and the whole time there you think, oh, I would have told her this, and next time I'm going to tell her that, and boy, the nerve of her, and then of course you realize you're at work all of a sudden. And you didn't even think about driving there, but your subconscious mind knows you go down to the 7-Eleven, you turn left, you go three blocks, you turn right, here's the street you work on, there's your normal parking space. The subconscious mind is capable of this, all this massive stuff going on all the time, and it just operates by rote on routine of what it's programmed. And when you can, and the stuff that you work with, Joe, and the things you mention in your book about how to condition yourself or how to train yourself or how to program yourself, that's really our ultimate goal, is to program the subconscious mind for these outcomes we want to create, because then the subconscious mind is what will direct the conscious mind and direct the conscious actions.
And the million-dollar question is, how do we program the subconscious mind to bring us what we prefer?
Well, one of the things that science has discovered is that the best and easiest way, or the best or easiest time to program your subconscious mind, is when you're in an alpha state. And alpha state is just merely a state of very deep, deep relaxation, kind of a half-conscious, half-unconscious state, like when you're laying in bed at night and you're not quite sure if you were just asleep or not. That's usually an alpha state. When you meditate, you get into an alpha state. If you've ever had a professional massage, you're laying on the table and you're just like, you're in an alpha state. And the thing is, so anytime you could do meditation, and then you could play subliminal tapes, or you can make your own tape, for instance, which doesn't even have to be subliminal. It could be out loud. You could say, I am a millionaire. I make wise food choices. I find time to exercise. You program yourself with whatever you want to program. You make a tape, then you meditate. You take 15 minutes, get in a meditative state, and push the button on your tape recorder. The other thing you do, of course, is one of the things I do is I buy some subliminal programming CDs. I've got a 6-disc Bang & Olufsen player, and I've wired all the rooms in my condo, and I've wired my bedroom. So actually, when I go to sleep at night, I play subliminal CDs. So, because as you sleep during the course of a night, you'll go into 3 or 4 alpha states during the course of the evening.
Oh, interesting.
And when it happens, you have your disc playing with what you want to be programmed with, and lo and behold, you're programming your own subconscious mind.
Do you feel it's better that people make their own subliminal tapes or just buy them? Does it matter? Does it seem to make a difference?
I like both. As you know from the study you've done on my work, I believe people are being programmed thousands and thousands of times a day every time they watch the TV, read the paper, listen to the radio. There's just always people programming you with.
And I got to interrupt and tell you that you were the guy who really made me aware of that with your little prosperity books and your course, the Midas course, and some of the other work that you've done. And even your easy when you send out these things and you tell us about the latest movie, whether it was Spider-Man or looking back at Gilligan's Island, and then you would ask us to start to reflect on how they positioned the rich people and people who had money and what they did with the money. And we're being programmed to think the rich people don't handle it well, or they're evil, or they're conniving, or they're egomaniacs, and having money is bad. You helped me become aware of that.
Yeah, and we can go with the current TV shows. We can go with the current movies. We can go with what the best-selling books. It's just unbelievable how much programming there is to convince you that money is bad, rich people are evil, and it's spiritual to be poor.
Well, you even told me...
You just get that over and over programmed in, and so you actually, most people actually sabotage their success because they're trying to be noble or spiritual, and on a subconscious level, they think that means they're supposed to be poor.
So how do we get around that? Besides, subliminals is one way.
Well, then you have to restrict the other programming you're getting. In other words, you got to look at the TV shows you watch and the movies you go to, and or even when you go to a movie or you watch a TV show. Like, for instance, the only show I would ever watch in the season, let's say, of real primetime dramatic television shows is The Sopranos, because I happen to think it's the most brilliantly written show I've ever seen on television, and probably one of the most brilliantly acted shows. But this is certainly not high prosperity consciousness show. I mean, the Tony Soprano's whacking this guy and whacking that guy. And
right.
So, but I'm conscious of it, and I look at that, and I say, wow, well, look at the, even like Spider-Man, which, you know, I've eviscerated number one and number two in terms of how horrible they are from a prosperity consciousness. But, of course, I grew up reading Spider-Man comic books as a kid. I love Spider-Man. So I go to the movies, but I'll say, well, isn't that fascinating how they show the noble aunt who's being evicted by the greedy bankers and all her furniture is in the street. And isn't it interesting that the uncle says, we may not be rich, but at least we're honest.
Yes.
And the billionaire is the bad guy, and that, you know, I'll notice that. So I can go to the movie, I can watch a TV show, I can read a book, but I will notice the negative programming, and then of course I will counter program against it, put in positive programming to counteract that stuff that you're getting assaulted with.
I'm so glad you're talking about this, because it's so true. Until we become aware of that programming, we're just kind of in a drugged state. We're absorbing it because we think it's entertainment, but it's downloading this kind of negative limiting software right into our skulls, and we don't know it until we wake up with a conversation like what we're having now, and we can go, oh, that's what's going on, and maybe then you can watch it as entertainment. But until then, it's programming.
It's programming. And you're singing along with songs on the radio, it's programming. You're reading a book, it's programming. You're watching TV, it's programming.
Well, tell me how you got that first Viper.
Well, I remember watching TV back in the day when I watched a lot of TV, and a commercial with Lee Iacocca came on, and he was talking about the new improved Chrysler Corporation, and they had come out of bankruptcy, and they were rebuilding now, and he was talking about all their new engineering department and how they had put together and come up with the ultimate supercar, and they showed the first model of a Viper. And my heart began to beat, my palms got sweaty, I don't know what. It was a spiritual experience. And I said, that is the most spectacularly beautiful car I have ever seen. And I said, Dad, I've got to get one of those cars. And it wasn't even ready to be made yet. It was a few years before they were even in production. But I remember that commercial, and that was the car I wanted to get. And then a few years later, I was doing a prosperity manifestation map, which, of course, is just a poster where you put images of things you want to do, have, or become. And the idea, you put it up where you see it a couple of times every day. And so anytime you walk by it, you see that image. Even if you see it out of your peripheral vision, it still programs your subconscious mind. So if you want to take a year off and take a cruise around the world, you put a cruise ship there, and your subconscious mind knows every time it sees a cruise ship, year off, cruise around the world. In my case, one of the things was the Viper. I wanted to get that car. And so I put it on my manifestation map, and probably and I didn't have anywhere near the money to buy that at that time. I mean,
that was going to be one of my questions. Were you in a position to buy one?
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. I mean, even the at that, when it came out, it was only like $60,000 or $65,000. Well, I didn't have that kind of money. I wasn't traveling in those circles yet. So, but I put it on my map and figure, let the subconscious mind figure it out, because you don't have to have the conscious thing. If you put it in your subconscious mind will find a way.
I'm so glad you say that, because so many people get hung up on how am I going to do it. And part of the attractor factor is you let go. You have to trust. And that's what you're saying here. You plant the seed, you give the command, you're putting it in the mental system, so to speak, and then you let it work.
Right. So when people come to you and say, well, but Randy, how do I do it? I say, that's none of your business.
They
say, what do you mean it's none of my business? I want to get this house or I want to get this car. I say, that's the universe's business. Your business is just program you want to get it. All right? And the rest will take care of itself, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it on the map, and about 6 months later, 5 months later, whatever, I get a client who wants to hire me. I tell them, you know, what they'd have to pay me to put me on a retainer basis to work with them, and they were kind of crying about the money, and they didn't have that much for the initiation fee and so on, so much a month. And so we came to this agreement, and I said, okay, I'll take this much down, this much a month, and when I get your sales up to $2 million a month, you buy me a brand new Viper.
Ah.
And so he went back to the board, and, of course, the CFO threw up all over the idea, and, you know, all the taxes and the title and the, you know, it's not clean. And I said, I don't want to hear your personal problems. You're doing $50,000 a month right now. If I take you to $2 million a month, buy me the damn car. Don't tell me your problems. So he went back, and he told the CFO, we're going to do it. That's it. Write it in the contract. And not long afterward, I got a call from him, and he said, listen, we're up to $1.7 million a month. I don't even want to wait till it's $2 million. I want to get you the car right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And there's kind of a funny little side lesson on that, if we got time.
Yeah, tell me.
Well, so he told me, you know, I'm going to send you the car now. I said, great. He says, well, I got a problem. I said, what's the problem, Matt? He said, well, you know, you said you wanted a red one. I said, yeah. He said, well, I've got this car. As soon as I knew I wanted to do it, I called my friend. He's the largest Viper dealer in the world. So I said, I need a special car. Well, he got this car. It was owned by a casino owner in Las Vegas. It's like less than 2,000 miles. He's going through a divorce. He's got to raise money. It's got a special roof kit. It's got a 6-disc CD changer. It's got special $5,000 rims on the tires. It's got special louvered vents in the side that no other Viper in the world has. They created for the original model that from the design company that built the clay model for Chrysler in California. And Bob, I said, what's the problem? He said, well, it's black. I said, black? Let me think, you know. So I say, let me call you back. So I hop on my bike and I go down to Ocean Drive. I like to ride my bike down there when I want to think. You got all the beautiful Art Deco hotels on the right, and you got the ocean on the left, you know. So I'm riding down, and then, of course, by coincidence, right, I get down to Gloria Stefan has a restaurant down there. I get down there to her restaurant. There's two Vipers right in front where the valet is. One black, one red. So I like ride my bike by. I ride my bike back. I stop. I get out. I look. I say, I got a black one. So of course I go back. I call Matt. Send the black one down, and which he does. And that was my first Viper. But the fascinating thing was, I thought I wanted a red one, but I had put a black one on my map.
Because
I was just looking for a magazine with cars. I got a DuPont registry or something. They had a black one. I cut it out because I thought, well, the color doesn't matter. But it did matter because
that
I manifested a black one. And to this day, it still was my favorite Viper. My next one's going to be black again. And I even sold that to my friend, Art Jonak, in Texas, because I just couldn't sell it to anyone. I mean, I had to have it somewhere where I could go and visit it, you know.
Well, that's amazing. Now, that's I'm glad you gave us the side story, because when we do put up the treasure map, my map, whatever we want to call that, Do we really need to be that specific? Is that what you're saying with the story, that if we want a yellow car but we put up a black picture, we're going to end up with the black one?
I really believe that. I know my vice president of my company, she wanted to manifest a husband, so she cut this picture of this guy out of a magazine, put it on the board. She responded to a personal ad. The guy was a jerk. They were dating. She told me, I got to break up with this guy. He's a jerk. But she said, but you know, he looks just like the guy on my map. And so what she did, she took that picture off, and then she got a picture of like a couple. You could see them from the back, and they were like walking along the beach holding hands.
Mm.
But you couldn't really see a face. And then she manifested John, who she got married to, and they've been living happily ever after.
Yeah.
So it's very important. Whatever you put on there, you know, you have to be very careful because that's what you're going to manifest.
Amazing. Well, do you, out of all your products, your services, everything that you've got at MyProsperitySecrets.com, what do you think would be the most useful for the people that are listening when it comes to manifesting and attracting more of what they want, whether it's a car or anything else?
Well, you know what? The map we're talking about, I actually have a kit called Prosperity Manifestation Map Kit. And it's a big poster that you put stuff on, and it's got a scissors and glue stick, and, you know, so there's no excuses. You know, you can just get right to work. And then it's got directions on how to do that.
What is it called again? That's probably the one thing of yours I don't have. What is it called?
Just if that site you mentioned, if they click on Prosperity Store,
okay.
It's like the fourth thing down, Prosperity Manifestation Map Kit.
All right. So they would go to www.myprosperitysecrets.com. Secrets with an S .com, and then they go to the Prosperity Store,
right?
And then four lines down or so, they should see the Prosperity Map.
Yeah, that would be very helpful. The third thing down is my 5-book series on prosperity, which
everybody must have. You must have it. They don't cost hardly anything. In fact, I think Randy's giving them away. Virtually giving them away. Whatever they are, buy those. And since you're going to buy the books, get the Prosperity Map Kit at the same time.
Yeah, and they can look at, there's other resources. I have a Prosperity audio album if they're looking for a little more advanced training. That's on there. And then
which is also excellent. Well, I love what you're doing. Any final thoughts before I got to jump off here and do a wrap-up?
It's hard to believe that a TV show you watched when you were 12 could be keeping you broke now when you're 30 or 40. It may be hard to believe that a movie you went to could be causing your marriage to be bad when you're 50. It's hard to believe that something your teacher or your guidance counselor told you when you're 14 is causing you to self-sabotage yourself when you're in midlife. But it really does happen because your subconscious mind gets programmed for self-defeating and self-sabotage behavior. And it's being programmed all day, every day, TV, books, radio, newspaper, your friends, your family, the internet. Either you take charge of your own programming and create prosperity, or you let those, what I call the data sphere, all of these outside influence, if you don't program your mind, those people, those forces are going to program your mind. And you're going to sabotage yourself. So if you control your programming, you control your beliefs, you control your vision, and you control your results.
Wake up and take charge.
Yeah.
Well, Randy, thank you very much. I know you're incredibly busy, so I'm very honored that you took the time to do this for me and for everybody that's called in. I'm very grateful. So, folks, go to www.myprosperitysecrets.com. And, Randy, if you want to hang on, you can *6 and you'll be muted out, or you can, you know, leave if you need to.
I'll *6, but thanks for having me on. Great to hear you. Great to hear Wendy a little before me, and thanks for having me on.
All right, Randy. Thank you. Well, folks, this is, as I said, the last of the teleseminar series on how to attract a new car. We have covered a lot of ground here, and we've had some fantastic guests. To me, tonight's been the best of all, but all of them have been truly fantastic, if not actually phenomenal. A couple of people have written in and asked me things like, what do you do if you don't have the money, or what do you do if you're up to your ears in debt? And again, we've talked about some of that on these previous calls, and Wendy addressed some of that even earlier. And I wanted to point out that, again, all of what we're talking about is based in the book, The Attractor Factor. And we want to use all those 5 steps to help manifest a car or anything else that you're looking for. So if you say you don't have enough money, or what do you do if you're up to your ears in debt, you're stuck in step one. That's a focus on what you don't want. And even Wendy had mentioned something to that effect earlier. And the basic rule in psychology is you get more of whatever you focus on. So if you are saying, I don't have the money or I'm up to my ears in debt, you're just talking about what you don't want. And as long as you keep talking about it, you'll be stuck there. And what you want to do is jump to step two. It's fine to know what you don't want. I think that is why it's step one. You need to know what you don't want. To use it to go to step two, stage your intention. Intention rules the earth. Intention takes the energy that is otherwise chaos and starts to mold it and aim it in the direction you want to go. So state what you do want. If you don't have enough money, you want to have more than enough money, or maybe it's a specific amount of money. I loved Wendy's story earlier about putting up the little yellow stickies and focusing on that 20 grand in a month and so forth and letting it happen. But step two is declare what you do want. Maybe you do want the BMW 645 CI. Maybe you do want the luxury car made in Japan, the Mitsuoko, or maybe you do want the Viper or the Boxster or whatever it happens to be. Step two, declare what you do want. Step three is get clear. So if you've got these nagging things popping up, whether it's self-doubt or deservingness or anything like that, you want to get clear of those. You want to question your beliefs. You might want to use some of the prosperity books from Randy, who just was on the phone, or you want to use some of the material like the financial abundance CDs from Wendy and help you get clear within yourself. You can also use the EFT method that we talked about in the previous weeks. Go to bradyates.net to get an overview of that again. But the clearer you can get, the faster you will attract what it is that you want. Then step four, one of my favorites, is to Nevilleize your goal. I'm basing that or naming that after the mystical writer Neville. And what you want to do is feel what it would be like to already have the money you want, or the be debt-free, or to have the car that you want. As we talked earlier, you don't want to focus on money per se. You want to focus on whatever it is that you're attracting, whether it is the car, the house, the spouse, the health, whatever. And as I mentioned earlier, if you can make this help to other people, at least you draw on other energies in the universe and you get out of your own ego. But step four is all about feeling what it would be like to have the car now. It's in your driveway. You got the keys. You can go down and get in it and sit in it. A little bit like Wendy pulling in a rental car into her garage and being able to see it and in some ways already own it. So step four, feel what it would be like to have it right now. Feel it to the extent it's like a hallucination. It's so real that you almost don't need the real thing to happen. That's how much you want to feel it. Step five is let go while taking inspired action. You let go of your attachment to this particular car. You let go of any need for this particular car. You're not coming from a sense of desperation. You're coming from a sense of playfulness, of fun, a little bit like that ad we talked about earlier. We are happy. It's not logic. So you want to let go, but you take inspired action, meaning if you get a nudge to make a phone call or to buy a set of books, or CDs, or attend a seminar, or make a, you know, whatever it happens to be, if it feels like it's that nudge from deep within you, that's the universe saying, take this action. It could lead you to the car or whatever it is that you're trying to attract. So again, to sum up, we're just using the ideas that are in the attractor factor to manifest whatever it is that you want. Okay, I'm going to unmute the call so that somebody can say hi or bye or whatever it happens to be. Let's see if I can remember what to do here. So I'm going to unmute right now. Well, I'm hearing a lot of thank yous, and again, I know that there's hundreds of thousands of people who called in from all over the world. I'm flattered. I'm honored that you took the time to do this, because I know that you got up at odd hours to do it in some cases. And again, I want you to go for your dreams. On my business card, I've got this Latin saying that I won't say the Latin words, but I'll translate it. It says, dare something worthy. Dare something worthy. That's what I'm going to leave you with as we go off the air after these four teleseminars are now up. Dare something worthy. Go for your dreams, whether it's a car, a house, it's a book you want to write, or a business you want to start. You can do it. Fill your mind with the Prosperity Secrets of the Ages. Get the books by Randy at myprosperitysecrets.com. Get the CDs from Wendy at wendy.com, the Financial Abundance. Write to her at mind@wendy.com to get that discount for the Financial Abundance. But dare something worthy. You can do it. You can make a difference. You are the ones who are carrying this message out to the universe. So go forth, manifest your desires, be a model for others, and keep on smiling. Dare something worthy. Joe Vitale, over and out. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.